All right. All right, tell me how you went from Brooklyn at the end of 46 and over to the Pirates.
Well, Billy Herman came to me. He was going to be the manager of Pittsburgh the next year. Billy Herman came to me before the season's over and said, "Arthur, don't say anything about it." He said, "I'm going to Pittsburgh as manager next year. I'd like to have you over there as a relief pitcher and a young pitcher instructor, you see." And so I said, "Well, I don't know, Billy. I'd like to go. I want to play someplace." And he said, "Well, I'm going to make a deal for you." And I said, "That'll be fine." But I got to Pittsburgh over there, and I did get to pitch, but very little. And Ed Barr and I was roommates. He was a pitcher. And Nick Strencevich, he's another pitcher, right-hand pitcher there. And so we had a suite there. And Pittsburgh has got a lot of coal smoke and everything in there. And I did a lot of running, so did Ed Barr. And my nose got to bleeding, and absolutely, I bled 3 days a night in the hospital. They couldn't stop my nose from bleeding. I lost a lot of blood. And I never could get back on my feet to pitch again. And so Billy Herman come to me and said, "Art, could you just pitch to one man?" And I'd get up there, out there, you know, and maybe I'd get one man out. Quick as I start perspiring, just chills would come over. I just couldn't do it. I just wasn't in shape to pitch. But I tried, and I just couldn't get the job done. And so anyway, about a month and a half before season, they released me, and I signed to the St. Louis Cardinals, and they sent me to Columbus. And I came down there, and it was about 3 weeks. They gave me blood and everything. They gave me vitamins and tried to build me up quick, and I did. And I won a few games, but not many down there. But come back the next year, they cut me to nothing, and I retired. Mm-hmm. I played semi-pro Lafayette over here, semi-pro, for 3 years after then. And after that, I went into building houses and garages and done everything. Mm-hmm.
Now, tell me just real quickly about the spring trainings that you went to with Detroit and you went to with Brooklyn and anything else, as to where they were held, and they're probably different than they have them now. And then did you play your way back up to Detroit and back up to Brooklyn?
Well, I think I trained in my baseball career. I trained about 8 or 9 times in Florida. And I never liked Florida because it's wet and damp and cold, and you had to be careful with your arm because seemed like the sun would burn you down, and after the sun went down, you'd chill and all. And we trained at Phoenix 1 year, and the sand out there was so bad, everybody had charley horses. We trained at Pasadena, California 1 year, and then Chico, California 1 year. But we trained at Leesburg, Florida a couple of times, Daytona Beach, Miami, Lakeland, Sarasota, Bradenton, Tampa. But I believe I like California better than I did Florida. Florida better than I do California. If it wasn't for that night humidity and all, and I don't know, you chill. I wore long handle underclothes all along for my arm, you know, and everything. Didn't I had a sore arm? Mm-hmm. So it was nice to go every place and train.
Tell me what type of pitcher were you? Describe your pitching motion for me, if you wouldn't, and tell me what kind of pitches you threw, and if there's anybody that you copied maybe, or if it was all on your own.
Well, this old Mike Valeni showed me how to hold the ball and all, and he showed me how to rotate and throw and use my wrist and all, and bend my right leg, and learned to pivot off of the mound, And he put me before a mirror and he showed me how to roll back and throw. And I used to take wind up over my head three times. And over in Philadelphia, I'd go one time, two times, three times. The fan would go, whoop, whoop, three like that, you know. Well, I stopped that, you know. I'd go to side and throw. But anyway, George Blayholder, he was a right-hand pitcher of the St. Louis Browns. And he showed Wyatt and I and Bridges and Hogsett and a whole bunch of us, Chief Hogsett, about throwing a little slider, nickel curve. And that kept me in the big leagues, that slider. I developed that thing where I could, gosh, I pitched against Terry, Johnny Mize, Mel Ott in the polo grounds, you know. And I shot him out in the polo grounds. And Mel Ott, as great a hitter as he was, I threw that little slider right into him. And he'd put that ball, he'd hit that ball out of the ballpark, it'd be foul, see. Then he got him two strikes. I'd throw him a little screwball away him to play the bad ball, and he'd go after it, see. And but to pitch against and Big Vic Lombardi, Snozzle Lombardi, as good a hitter, Johnny Mize, I pitched against him in the International League and Pepper Martin and that bunch, but I knew a little something about Johnny Mize. They're strictly fastball hitters. But you know, that being time, we'd knock them down. You know, we'd throw behind their heads. We'd throw at their feet. You know, if they took a good cut, we'd loosen them up. Now you can't even throw at them or anything.
Mm-hmm.
You know. But that slider, what I did one time in Detroit, Henry Ford picked me up one time at Navin Field and took me out to his proving ground. And that's when he first a shatterproof windshield, you see. And he gave me $100. To try to throw a baseball through a shatterproof windshield. I couldn't do that, but I broke it, see. And they checked me at 94 miles an hour. They had little old things that go in there, you see. Mm-hmm. I had a good fastball. And I developed this slider where I could throw it just nearly as fast as my fastball. Then I could take a little off, and then I'd throw it three different speeds, fast, slow, and then real slow. And that's what Ted Williams, Mel Ott, and those guys, they didn't like. I'd throw that slider into them, and I'd throw a little screwball out. Herbie Keene, you'll talk to him what I could do, that guy. Oh, he's a good friend of mine, Harry.
Mm-hmm. Well, tell me about him.
Well, he showed me how he rolled his wrist. He was a little left-hander, you see. Mm-hmm. And he'd say, Art, what you want to do is, when you, of course, he had long arms. I got a little bit of fingers, you see. I couldn't do it. But I developed that slider. All you do is throw that there. And you just, same as your fastball, your arm clean back. Most pitchers now will crook their arm. You like this Boston pitcher, this Clemens. Mm-hmm. He throws his arm crooked like that. Crooked. I can't see how that man throws so hard.
Mm-hmm.
I can't believe it. But now this old Indian showed me how to throw my arm at. And that slider, I throw that slider, three damn curve. And I threw my curve. I had a good curve ball. I'd either hang it or his way down. What I done, I got, never throwed it high anymore. I always throw it outside the plate, down. And they'd go after it, see, with two strikes. One time in New York, Buck Harris, I was pitching, you know, and Buck Harris said, I went into relief. And Buck Harris said to me, he said, Art, I've asked all these other pitchers to knock this Babe down, this Babe Ruth. And he said, nobody's knocked him down. He said, knock him down for me, will you please? And Yankee Stadium and Babe Ruth. So I threw two of them right back at him, you know. He just stepped out of the way, you know, he couldn't hit him. And I threw that slider down, hit him on the foot, you know, right top of the foot. He threw that bat straight up in the air, and he gave me all this cussing you ever seen, you know.
Scare you?
Yeah, put him out 3 or 4 or 5 days.
Oh, yeah? Oh.
Yeah, we was fighting for the pennant. Detroit's right in there.
Mm-hmm. Well, tell me a little bit about your hitting. You kept telling me you're a good hitter, and a little bit about your fielding. Pretty good fielder,
yeah.
I know. Harry Burkeen, we keep talking about. He was known as Harry the Cat. He was a pretty good fielder.
So was I. So was I. I tell you what I do. I tell Phil Toad, Greenberg, all of them, Geringer, make play back like Ted Williams or Mel Ott, those guys come to the bat, you know, way back. I threw that dead fish, you know, that curveball in. I covered first base, you see. I could beat him from bound to third base, you see. And boy, you don't know how many times that saved my pitching, you see. And the good, good hitter, they're going to hit you. I don't care how you throw it up. Mm-hmm. They're going to hit you anyway. But you got to make them hit your pitch, see, or they're going to kill you. These guys now just get out there and throw that in or go five innings. They think they've got the world but the tail. They got the mop-up thing.
Mm-hmm.
But I can't believe it. One time in Detroit, Heine Mnuch was trying to lead the league 1 year. He did lead the league, I think, 1 or 2 years. And he's trying to lead the league 1 year. And Big Dale Alexander was our first baseman. And he's struggling. Dale was the nicest guy. He's a big guy, about 6'6", and weighed about 230. Well, Heine Mnuch is a pretty good size, too. And Alexander went way off the mound, off the base, you know, to catch this ball, you know. And Heine Mnuch stepped way up here to spike him, you know. And so, anyway, well, Heine Mnuch, he not told other guys, said, when they tried to fight and they couldn't, you know. But anyway, I was pitching one time, and Dale Alexander came over to me and he said, Arthur, would you knock this Heine Mnuch down for me? And I threw one at him with the back of him, then I knocked his cap bill off.
Mm-hmm.
I come close to him. I didn't want to hurt him to kill him, but you know, well, here he came after me, and here come Alexander and McManus and Hayworth and Hargraves. We had Bubba Hargraves in. He was tough. Nobody wanted no Hargraves. He was a fighting dude, I guess, because nobody wanted him.
Okay, what kind of hitter were you?
I tell you, I'm the only pitcher, I guess, in baseball that's got four doubles.
Oh, yeah?
As the American Association, mm-hmm. from Double A on up. Red Crest gave me a bat one time in St. Paul, and he gave me the wrong bat. He got four doubles in that bat with that bat one time, and he gave me the wrong bat. And that day, against Indianapolis, I got four doubles. And so he wanted it back, and I said, why are you going to give it to you? But I gave it back to him.
Who were some of the toughest hitters that you faced? Now, obviously, like a Williams or DiMaggio, you know, I'm just guessing they would be tough to get out, but is there somebody that maybe isn't as well known that you had a hard time getting out? And then also, maybe there's somebody that is pretty well known that you got out with pretty with ease.
Well, Lou Saw Fonseca in the big league was the toughest. He could hit me blindfolded, I guess. They put me in Cleveland one time to pitch, and Buck Harris did, and it's a dark day. And anyway, he said, don't throw him nothing but fastball, and he said, burn him, burn him. And so Muddy Rule, the little guy, was catching me. He's a little bitty fella, see. Mm-hmm. He's catching me, you know, and he said, Arthur, Bucky wants me to throw all fastballs, and he said, boy, give it to him. And boy, he just wore me out. I don't care where I throw it, he just wore me out. And the American Association, Ab Wright, was a Minneapolis. And I couldn't get that big guy out. He's a big right-hand hitter. I couldn't get him out. But you know, I got in the big leagues, and he just, Bob Coleman was the manager of Boston, you see, at that time. And Ab Wright went up there, and he said, oh, let me hit against Herrings, and I'll wear him out. He couldn't get a foul ball on me in the big leagues.
Mm-hmm.
Now, isn't that something?
I reckon.
Yeah, sure would, boy. I couldn't believe it. He got up there. Oh, he couldn't believe it. He broke his bat and done everything. One time in Boston, well, Larry, Tommy Holmes is, if he gets a base hit, I pitched the final game there. If he gets a base hit off of me, he wins a National League batting championship.
Sounds like about 1945, I think.
Yeah. And so, anyway, I got one. He got one strike on him. He threw his bat clean the mound. He said, all right. If I get one hit off of you, I leave the league. He's wanting me to lay one down there, and I wouldn't do it. And he didn't do it. And Eddie Stanky would have led the American Association one time. He did the same thing to me. I wouldn't do it. I said, let him earn it.
Yeah,
that's it.
Certainly admirable. Who was your, in all your years of baseball, who would you consider to be your best friend?
Best friend. Well, I tell you, you don't have fingers or hair in your head. Know so many of them.
Mm-hmm.
I got friends all over this whole world.
But is there one any more special than the other, or is there just a...
Well, I tell you, I'm sort of a guy that makes friends most any place, mm-hmm. you see. And when we make a trip or something, we're going to St. Louis here, it's been fire secure, going within St. Louis. We stopped a little place to eat, my wife and I, and there's a guy came over to me and he said, "Are you Art Herring?" You know, people like that.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, it's a funny thing how you run into people. One time I was fishing. I like to hunt. I like to quail hunt, grouse hunt. Dean Nesbitt, attorney here, was up at Baldwin, Michigan one time hunting. And was in 22,000 acres of woods. And during the World Series, there's four of us hunting. And there's two more people hunting too, and we met out there. And these two men we met, he said to me, they had the World Series on. And one of these men said, I said, "Oh, I tell you what." He said, "I don't care nothing about no big leagues, but this is a pretty good game." And he said, "Used to be a little pitcher named Art Herring with Sacramento, and Cupid Byard with Portland." And he said, "Every time they'd come, they'd be 1-0, 1-0. He said, "You never seen such good little pitchers in all your life." He said, "I'd rather see them guys pitch than anything under the sun. Out here in 22,000 acres of woods." And anyway, well, Dean Nesbitt's attorney said, "Well, listen, I'm Dean Nesbitt. I'm a lawyer here in Marion, Indiana. And this is Lloyd Cassidy. He's a carpenter. And this is John Harris here. And he's works for Bell Fiber here." And he said, "This is little old Art Herring, used to pitch for Sacramento. The one you just got telling about him and Cupid Byard." He said, he's telling, "Art Herring couldn't stand on a little bitty guy, you know. Now weighed about 165 pounds then, you know. And we was in hunting clothes and all, see." And so he couldn't believe it. I had to take out my license, show it.
Show it to him. Well, that's a good story. How about roommates? Who were your roommates? And if there's any stories about, funny stories about roommates or anybody coming in late, or feel free.
Well, yes. Well, I've had several, not long. I didn't keep them long. One time I roomed with Hack Wilson.
Mm-hmm.
I've got a letter in there now. I just got last week from a friend of mine, a fan, and wanting to know about Hack Wilson. And I used to room with him. And we was in Chicago one time, and Hack was my roommate. And I said, Hack, now I go to bed about 9 o'clock, and I get up early. That's okay. And I said, "Now listen, I'm going to write you a little note. If you can't say ain't that from Hillsborough, Texas," I said, "you can't get in." And so he come in, because Archie and put us in there, secretary of the boss. And he said, "Now Archie, he's a tough guy. He's only 5'6" tall, you know.
Yeah.
Big muscle guy, stronger than a bull. Could he hit that high ball? Man, he can hit Mongo, I don't care who he was." And anyway, he came in and, oh, he drunker who that. Couldn't get in. I wouldn't let him in. And so, anyway, he couldn't say. He said, "Well, it's ain't many of them. Yeah, hill or hill something, hill tire or something." I wouldn't let him in, see. I told Archie, and I said, "Well, but he's a nice guy if he wasn't drinking."
Mm-hmm. So
Whitlow White was one of my best ones. I got a letter from him here last year, Christmas time. And he wrote and told me, and he said, "The first roommate ever I had in the big leagues and the best roommate ever I had," you see. And now getting back to that, now we was in the same ball club in 1929. 1946, he was with the Dodgers. And again, here's Paul Ladd, Lorne Wiener from Oklahoma, Joe Medwick. I was in Texas League in 32, and I pitched against Joe Medwick. You know, he's a Houston. And they said, "Oh, you couldn't get him out, Joe Medwick." He said, "You can't get him out." He said, "He's a bad ball hitter." And I threw a ball tight in here, 20, hit him 9 miles out of the ballpark, foul. And I said, "My goodness alive." And so, anyway, we was on the same ball club together, you see, in 46.
Mm-hmm.
And those guys had come back around. They just switch around. Dixie Walker, I room with Dixie Walker. Charlie Gehringer. And then, well, but oh, I've had some wonderful times in baseball.
Mm-hmm. I want to just, I got some names written down here, and I've got about 30. Of course, I'd like to hear about them all, but I don't think we have time. Just, I'm going to mention some names, and you can either tell me if you have a funny story, or you remember something, or even if just how you pitched a particular guy, and just go ahead. Well, let me pick somebody out here. Tell me, oh, we talked on the phone about Willis Hudlin, and you said that Willis was the fastest pitcher you saw for 5 innings. Tell me about him.
Willis Hudlin. Well, he had these Cleveland, he had Feller, and he had Gale House, they had Mel Harder, they had Early Wynn, they had Bob Lemon, and Willis Hudlin, and they had Pearson. I can't think of the left-hander's name, but anyway, you know, Gehringer and Father Gill and Heilman, Harry Horn come back to the bench, and he said, you know, when Gehringer get in a hitting slump, hit with White, Nine, Bridges would get with go batting practice to him, you know, from home plate into the stand, you know, had screen up there. Right. We'd knock him down, screwball him, curve him, and everything, you know. And that's the way Charlie got out of his slump, you see. And he'd hit balls back to us in Everwich, and not we'd do everything to him, you see. And so, anyway, well, they'd come back to him, and he'd say, I took that little book down here, and I'd watch everything, and I'd mark them down, you know. I'd watch these good pitchers pitch, you know. I'd watch them how they stand on the rubber. I'd notice how they'd set up them good hitters. Oh, Joe Judge and Sam Rice. If you got Sam Rice, here's the Washington. He'd get out in that outfield, you know, when he got there to get his glove. Boy, you ought to see him get out there and move around. Gee, boy. But anyway, they'd say, what's Hudlin do? What's my doing? And they come back and they'd say, we can't even follow that ball. We couldn't even follow that ball. What's he doing? And you know, the guy'd come to his right-hand pitcher. See? Mm-hmm. He'd come in here, boy, and that he'd go his wrist, boy, his wrist would do it. And he had a little bitty curve, but his ball, you know, home plate's only 21 inches.
Mm-hmm.
And when you hit that here and here, your ball will take off. Here it don't. It's alive here and alive here. Here it's not. It just goes straight. And that's the difference. Now, he could make that ball, it is alive. See, that's what you call a live ball. And they said, I could get it, but I can't do nothing with it. It's just a fly ball or hitting on the ground.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people like it. That's where I pick up things.
How about Mel Harder? You know, there's a big movement back in Cleveland, back where I'm from. They're trying to get Mel into the Hall of Fame through the Veterans Committee. What do you think Mel belongs there?
Well, Mel's a good pitcher, but he had a bad disposition. I was on the same ball club with Mel. Of course, I didn't say he's not a great pitcher, something like that, but his disposition hurt him more than anything. But boy, he'd knock his own grandmother down. He would give her a good ball hit, but yes.
Mm-hmm.
He was a good pitcher.
Well, tell me real quick about two guys that I want to hear about, are Ruth and Gehrig.
Well, I tell you, Gehrig is one of the finest cotton-picking hitters I ever pitched against. I don't know there's any way in the world you could pitch to that guy. You could pitch high and away from him, hit that ball in the left field. He wouldn't try to hit that ball. That's what makes him so great. Now, Ruth would try to pull that ball. You know, and you could throw Tommy Bridges as good a curveball as he had. I think he had one of the best curveballs ever I'd seen in all my life. Danny McFadden of Boston's another one, a real little righty, a little bitty guy. And this Sutton, Don Sutton, he's another. They don't give him any credit. Don's one of the greatest pitchers, I think, that they are. But Gehrig, and he'd pull that ball. He just had he'd pitch inside the curveball, and he'd seem like he'd just drive that ball near Gehringer's head or through Alexander. He had that hole. He had that slick through there. He could level down there with him. Great fella.
Nice man?
Gehrig, yes. Great fella. And Ruth, there's no way in the world you'd pitch to him. You know, when Scoot Boy came up, Wiz and you aren't playing, Scoot Boy pitched again. First time Ruth came to bat, it's a hot day. It's hot in New York. And anyway, Goo Boy got him out, see. Struck him out. Boy, he run into the bench, and Hornbucker said, wait a minute here. He said, Steve, that inch, you got 9 innings to pitch. He said, I bet a kid in at home $100 I struck him out the first time I faced him. Next time, two men on, we came to bat, hit that ball on the elevator tracks over there. Clean on the elevator track. Two men on, you know. Next time the base is loaded, Ruth came to bat. He got him 3-2, and here come that big curveball hit, and that ball hadn't stopped yet. 7 runs, 3 times at bat, Ruth.
Including a strikeout.
Yes. Boy, I tell you what, yes. But Ted Williams, Joe DiMaggio, Joe Harris, Joe Judge, name some more of them.
Well, I'll tell you what, tell me about the A's, Connie Mack's A's of 29 through 31, the team that won, went to the World Series 3 state times with Simmons and Grove and Fox and all them guys. Tell me about what it was like to pitch against that lineup.
Well, I tell you, Grove, well, when they had Cochran catching, the Fox on first and Boley second and Bishop second, Boley short, and Jimmy Dykes and Miller and Simmons in right, and Hass in center, and Miller in left. The ball club they had, I don't know. They were
tough on you?
Boy, listen, you just couldn't hardly, but every ball club, you just think of a ball club like that. And boy, what they had Grove, Wahlberg, Earnshaw, Mahaffey, Emke, Johnson. And who did Connie Mike start in the World Series against the Cubs? Emke. And he struck out 13.
Yeah, they never expected that.
Oh.
And then he broke up the team.
Yes. And he kept growing that guy's on the band.
Mm-hmm. Hey, well, let me just throw a couple more at you. How about Chuck Klein, a guy you don't hear a lot about?
The first big league with the spring training in 30, the exhibition game. I pitched the first 5 innings, and Whitlow White pitched a 4, see. The next time, he'd pitch 5, and I'd pitch 4. And the first time I faced Chuck Klein, I struck him out. And I pitched 5 innings, shut him out, see, for 5 innings. And the first time I'd been to Florida, eat grapefruit right off the tree. I'd never seen him like that. Mm-hmm. And I went out there, we rode in a bus then, you know, and I went out there at the grapefruit with the cop out there. And I said, boy, what I'd give to eat one of those grapefruits. He took his knife and peeled that grapefruit out and cut a hole in it and put the seed down there and he sucked that thing. I said, what? And he said, yeah. He said, that's the way they eat grapefruits down here. And that's the way I eat them right now. That was the best grapefruit area in my life. But Chuck Klein was a super. Jim Bosby, George Sisler. You don't know anything about them, do you?
No, well, you want to tell me, I'm all ears.
Oh, George Sisler. You know, George Hester hit 4-4 one year, and he hit 420, and that wasn't his best year. The best year was he had 257 base hits.
Yeah, he was first baseman with the Browns, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh. Get back to Hack Wilson.
Okay.
There's a letter in there that I got, and this guy wrote me, and he said, you know, Hack Wilson, he drove in 190 runs that year and hit 56 or 58 home runs, you know. And don't even mention him in the Hall of Fame, that guy. And, well, it's a many guys, not that. Well, Ty Cobb. Let me just tell you.
Sure.
About Ty Cobb. Ty Cobb came to Oklahoma in 1919. I was just a kid.